To share with you this morning from the scriptures, there's a problem, I think, with many pastors. I've heard some of the great preachers in our country, and when they get to the invitation, they lose it. And I want to talk to you about the invitation. Many times, a pastor is afraid of the invitation because he's afraid no one's going to come forward. And believe me, I have been there. And I have preached, and I've asked people, and nobody responds. And just that knot that's in your stomach. And so many times we're tempted, let's broaden our invitation so somebody will come. If you would like to join the church, now you come. If you would like for us to pray for you, you come. Just anything, please, somebody come forward. You know, we laugh. We laugh because we know it's the truth. Okay? There are a few things that I have learned, though, in the invitation that I don't care anymore if somebody comes or doesn't come. That's not my responsibility. It's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit of God. But many times we get up and we preach, and we'll give an invitation, and what we have preached on and what we're inviting people to respond to, they're not the same. We fail to put the elements of the gospel in the message. And so people they're confused, they don't know what to do. So this morning, I want to take just a passage of scripture, look at it, and then just share with you how I would use that passage as an evangelistic message and where I would throw the hooks in, okay? The hooks just to where you can kind of jerk on somebody while they're sitting there listening. Little hooks, we've got to have, he called us to be fishermen of men, right? And we can use nets and net them. We can use hooks. Some parts of the world, they use spears. I don't care whatever it takes to get those fish. Hook them, stab them, net them, you know, trap them. That's what we're going to do. But I want to look at a passage this morning. And it's Luke chapter 8. So I hope you have your Bibles. I asked my son, Will. I said, Will, will they have their Bibles? He said, every last one of them will have their Bibles. So amen. And if you've got a notepad, get that out, and don't try to jot down everything I say, but just make a note by the hooks, okay? And then go back and use it sometime, or take just these hooks that will help you in the presentation of the gospel so that you can give an invitation, all right? First of all, the gospel message. There are certain elements that you've got to put in every message if you're going to give an invitation. First of all, you've got to let the person who's sitting out there know that they're a sinner. They've got to know that the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of God's glory, and that the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for breaking God's law is death. And all of us are under the sentence of death. Franklin Graham's a sinner. Every one of you are a sinner. You've got to make it clear that we have broken God's law, and sin is disobedience to God. And we're guilty of it, the whole human race. And the penalty for doing that is death, separation from God for eternity, and a place the Bible calls hell. And don't be afraid to preach on hell. Don't be afraid to talk about the blood. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is God's power. There's power in it. Let me tell you something. When you quote the scripture, there's Holy Spirit power, but you've got to make sense when you use the scripture. In every gospel message, you're a sinner. The penalty of sin is death. But yet, John 3:16, but God so loved you. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son out of heaven down to this earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Let them know that there's a God who loves them, a God who's provided the way. There's no way. They've got to understand there's no way you can save yourself. Your money's not going to save you. Your position in life's not going to save you. Your education's not going to save you. It's only the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for your sins, who was buried, but yet on the third day, God raised him from the dead. You're a sinner. You've been separated from God, but yet God loves you and God's willing to forgive you. Now what do you need to do? You've got to be willing to confess your sin, repent, and by faith receive Jesus Christ. That has to be in every message. And it's got to be repeated. And sometimes, you know, pastors, we want to be fresh, right? And so we will use new verses and so forth. Well, when you give the gospel, just stay with the basics. Because the person who's sitting there that has never heard the gospel, they've never heard John 3:16. Don't be afraid to use John 3:16 every time. And every time you quote the scripture, you're hitting them in the head with a spiritual claw hammer. Bam! Oh, what did he say? For God so loved the world. Bam! Wait, you know, you're just hitting them over and over and over. Okay, we're going to look at a passage of scripture. And I'm just going to read it to you, then we're going to go through it and just put places where you can put hooks in, okay, just to grab somebody when you give the invitation. Okay, chapter 8, Luke, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on the way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. Immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Every time you preach and you're going to give an invitation, start your message with the invitation. And before I speak, I always pray. And I will give the invitation. As I speak to God, I give my invitation. In that prayer, I'll just say, "Heavenly Father, we thank you as we've read your scripture this morning. And Father, I just pray if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they will confess their sins, repent of their sins, and by faith receive Jesus Christ into their heart this morning. And then I'll go into my message." So at the very beginning, people, as they're listening to me speak to God, I give that invitation. And then I will give the invitation throughout the scripture, because when I get to the end, I want the person who's sitting there to understand exactly what I'm asking them to do. I don't want there to be any confusion. And I'm going to hit them in the head throughout my message. I'm going to hit them. I'm going to confront them with the fact that they're a sinner, the fact that they're separated from God, the fact that they're going to go to hell, the fact that they have an opportunity right now that God provided a way. He sent his son out of heaven down to this earth for their sins, and they got to make a response this morning. They've got to choose either to accept or to reject, but they're going to make a choice this morning, and I'm going to ask you. Okay, you've got to do this throughout your message. Okay, let's look at this message. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were expecting him. And I'll stop right there and I'll say, are you willing to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ this morning into your heart, into your life? Are you expecting Christ in your life? If not, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to get up out of your seat and come stand here to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life. You prepare to come. A man by the name of Jairus, our ruler of the synagogue, comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus, pleading with him to come to his house because his daughter of about 12 was dying. Okay, in verse 40, that's the hook, okay? They welcome Jesus. Are you going to welcome Jesus? You see, that's a hook. Just underline it. You know, it's a hook. You can just take that and you can just point right to the person in the pew. Are you willing to welcome Jesus? Are you expecting him? This crowd was expecting him. Are you expecting him? And you want people, as they sit there in the pew, to begin to think and reflect on their own life and their own situation. Okay. Here comes Jairus. I have a daughter, 12. We call her Sissy. And I could just imagine if my daughter was dying, I would go to the Mayo Clinic. I would go down here to Duke. I'd go anywhere in the world, whatever it took, to find somebody who could save the life of my daughter. I love my daughter, Sissy. Every one of you would do the same thing. And here is a ruler of the synagogue, and he comes to Jesus, and his daughter of about 12 was dying. And Jesus agrees to go with him. And if you look throughout all the scripture, Jesus, the Son of God, when people came to him and asked, will you go? Jesus would go with them. He was never so important that he couldn't go. And I hope you guys never get so big that you just can't go with somebody and just be willing to go. Jesus was willing to go. And as Jesus was on the way, the crowds almost crushed him. And I was in Romania with my father once, and we were in a crowd of over 100,000 people, and every one of them wanted to touch my father. And they were all going, Billy, Billy, Billy. And the crowd, they had several hundred of these communist policemen, big armed guys, and they all formed a human chain, and they were going to hold the crowd back. The crowd just crushed these cops. I mean, their eyes were this big. They thought they were going to die in this crowd. And my daddy thought he was going to die, and I thought, I'm going to die with him. But I mean, you couldn't do a thing. I mean, you were caught in the crush of the crowd. You couldn't move to the left and you couldn't move to the right. You could only move as this huge human wave moved. It was a frightening experience. And Jesus is caught in this crush of the crowd. Huge crowd. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus says, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Here's this crush of the crowd. And this woman who had been sick for all these years, she comes up and she reaches out the hand of faith. If I can just touch him, that's all, just touch him, I'll be healed. How about you? Hook. Are you willing to reach out that hand of faith? Are you willing to reach out and touch the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and say to God, I have sinned? And right here, I'll put the whole gospel in. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. The wages of sin is death. It's death, separation from God. We're all sinners. But yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you, and God will forgive your sin if you're willing to confess it and repent and by faith receive Jesus Christ. Right there, you have a hook, you give the gospel. That hand, that one little scrawny hand of that lady just touching the Lord, she reached out a hand in faith, and you can use that as a hook. Are you willing to reach out and touch the Lord today with that hand of faith? And then, of course, Peter says, but Master, come on, what do you mean, did someone touch you? What is this? You know, if he was from New York, he would, what do you mean? What are you talking about? There's a crowd around you. Everybody's touching you. No. Somebody touched me in faith. And you see, Jesus stopped. And hook, he'll stop for you. He'll stop for you. He stopped for that woman. She reached out that hand of faith, and he stopped. He'll stop for you. Then a woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at the feet in the presence of the people, and she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Okay, here comes the hook. Your faith has healed you. Are you willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to trust him? Look at the promise, you can go in peace. And that's what can happen to you this morning. You can leave here in peace. And you say, but frankly, you understand the mess my life is in. I'm in the middle of a divorce. You understand, I've cheated somebody. I'm in tax trouble. And, and I may go to jail. You don't understand the mess I've made of my life. I'm into drugs. I'm an alcoholic, but nobody knows. What do you mean I can have peace? That's right. If you're willing to confess your sin and repent and receive Jesus Christ by faith this morning, God will heal you. God will cleanse you. And you can leave here in peace. Don't you want to leave here in peace? I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come to receive Jesus Christ by faith. You prepare to come. It's a hook right there. It's just a hook. Give the gospel again. Give the invitation again. And you say, but Franklin, won't they get tired of it? Who cares? How tired they get of it? You want them to respond. You want them to understand. You want the Holy Spirit of God to take control. And you repeat it over and over throughout the message. People understand it. The Holy Spirit will use it. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Can you imagine the motion? Jairus is running to Christ. He comes and my daughter's dying. Please, Jesus. You're the only one who can help her. You're the only one who can save her. If you just come to my house, you can save her. Okay, I'll come with you, Jairus. Let's go. Get caught in the press of the crowd, this crush. And Jairus is looking at his watch. He didn't have one, but if he had one, he would have been looking at it, you know. Oh, gee, he's biting his fingernails, you know. Jesus, why does this woman have to stop you? I mean, talk to her when we get back. Tell her to wait. We'll be... And now word comes. It's too late. She's dead. It's too late. And here comes, you can put another hook in right here. Some of you may think it's too late in your life. That the circumstances that you're in cannot be reversed. You're too old. You're too much in sin. That God cannot forgive you. That it's too late for you. It's not too late. It's never too late. If you're willing to confess your sin and repent, and by faith receive Jesus Christ, God loves you, and it's not too late. But here's Jairus, who's thinking in his mind, if I had just come 30 minutes earlier, instead of sleeping till 5:30, if I'd just gotten up at 5 this morning, maybe. If Jesus had just come yesterday instead of today. And all of these what ifs, you know, he's the father and his daughter's dead and it's too late. And all of this fear and anger and emotion that's beginning to come up in Jairus. And maybe he's thinking, if that woman hadn't stopped Jesus, if we had been in this crowd, you know, all of these things, what if? And what does Jesus say? Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, I love this, I love it. Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be healed. Hook, underline it. That's what I'm asking you to do, is just to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe. He probably pointed to that woman. Jairus, are you brain dead? Just believe. He probably pointed to this old gal. You just believe. Look at her. Just believe. And your daughter's going to be okay. And thank you, Lord. I was scared there for a moment. Whew, you're right. Amen. Thanks. Thanks for reminding me. I do believe. I believe. When they arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. And I tell you what, I like this. This was not a show. This is not some big healing campaign on television here. There was a crowd of people there, but Jesus was not going to do this in front of the crowd. Jesus never did trust the crowds, did he? Didn't trust them. They are wailing and they're mourning. Jesus says, stop your wailing. She's not dead, she's asleep. And these people who are wailing and who are mourning like that turn on him. And they begin to laugh at Jesus. Hook, underline it. Maybe you're laughing at the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you think, oh, this is silliness, that nothing can change me. I don't need God or Jesus. I can make it on my own. I'm a good person. I give money to charities. I go to church Christmas time and Easter, and I've lived a good life. And you laugh when you say the only way that you can get to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Maybe you laugh. You're laughing at Jesus, and you're laughing at the claims of the cross. But God loves you, and God's willing to forgive you. He'll forgive you of your sin, and He'll cleanse you. He'll change your heart. He'll give you a new start, a new beginning. But you've got to be willing to admit to Him that you're a sinner. And then I answer questions, okay? Because I know what people are thinking. Because I ask the same questions in my life, okay? How can He forgive me? Is it really going to make a difference? Franklin, can God really forgive me? Yes, because He says so. And you can quote the scripture. And just whatever questions come to your mind, you can answer that for people. Right then. Yes, I'm a sinner. I deserve death. I deserve hell, but He's forgiven me. I don't deserve it, but He forgave me. If He forgave me, He'll forgive you. All you have to do is be willing to believe. And so, it's a great hook. They were laughing at Him. Maybe you're laughing. And you can use that as a hook and give the gospel again. They laughed at Him, knowing that she was dead, but He took her by the hand and said, my child, I love this, my child, my daughter, some translate, took her by the hand, my child, get up. The spirit returned to her at once, and she stood up. Then Jesus told them, give her something to eat. I love that. Give her something. You know, 12-year-old girls, I've got one. They're hungry all the time. All the time. But He takes her by the hand. He says, my child. Why would He say my child? You see, He came to this earth to shed His blood on a cross for you and for me. He died in our place. We deserve hell. We deserve punishment. But He died in our place. But yet God raised Him from the grave on the third day. Right. He raised Him. He took our sins to the grave. And He'll forgive you and He'll cleanse you if you're willing by faith to take Him by the hand. And Jesus took that girl by the hand and said, my child. And my question is, hook, underline, hook. Are you the child of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? And if you don't, I want to invite you to do something. And then, friends, you give the invitation. And you just say, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if you're not experienced the new birth, if you're not sure where you stand before a holy God, if you were to die today, would you go immediately into the presence of Almighty God? And I ask that question to people. And you know what I get most every time? I think so. I say, I'm not talking about thinking nothing. I'm talking about knowing. Do you know that you're going to go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go immediately into the presence of Almighty God? And if you're sitting there and you say, well, Franklin, I think so, then you don't know. And I'm talking about knowing so. And if you want to know so this morning, then I'm going to ask you to do something. Listen to me. I want you to get up out of your seat, make your way to the aisle, come stand here, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life. And I never mix the invitation with anything else. The invitation for salvation, I never mix with anything else. I don't mix it with talking about joining no church. We can do that some other time. I don't talk about bringing your letter. No. I don't talk about rededicating. No. If they feel that they need to rededicate their life, they'll get up and come. I don't need to ask for that. I'm talking about salvation. Don't mix the invitation. Don't confuse people. And let me tell you something. You be bold when you give the invitation. But make sure that you have presented the gospel and that you've used those hooks throughout a passage. Use those hooks. Talk to the crowd. That like laughing. Are you laughing? She reached out and she touched. Are you willing to reach out and touch? Jesus came and they were expecting Him. Are you expecting the Lord Jesus Christ? All of these little hooks you can use in a passage. Through every passage there's a hook. Just find them and look at how you can relate it to your audience. And give that invitation from the beginning the middle, at the end, give the invitation 3 or 4 times. So when you do give the invitation at the end, there's no confusion of what you're asking them to do. Most of you will be ministers or missionaries, and most of you will be given an opportunity to give an invitation. Don't be afraid. Remember, it's not your invitation. And it's really absolutely none of your business if somebody comes forward or not. That's the Lord's business. He does a pretty good job of taking care of his own invitation. What's your responsibility? Make it clear. Don't confuse it. Don't muddy the water. Make sure that the gospel is clearly presented throughout your passage. And extend the invitation several times so there's no confusion. And when you do give it, don't muddy the waters with something else. And you know what? Just back and just watch God go to work. He does it every time, every place. Just be faithful to him. Oh, there'll be times. I remember I preached once up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. It's a cold place to begin with. And I was speaking to an audience of Mennonites. And they had their little buns, and you tell a joke, and they just sat there. And I knew I was in trouble. And I just gave some message, and I tacked an invitation on the end of it, and nobody responded. And I thought to myself, I hate this. I'll never come back to Canada. God hadn't called me to preach. I don't know why, you know, and all of the, and I just found out a couple years later that somebody did receive Christ that day. But they didn't come forward. They went home and got on their knees and asked Christ to come into their heart. But their lives were changed. But I realized at that point, I didn't make the gospel clear. And I didn't repeat it enough. And I was afraid of how I would look. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It's how does the Lord Jesus Christ look when you are finished preaching? Do they understand that they're sinners? Do they understand that they're lost? Do they understand that they're going to go to hell? Do they understand that God is a God of love who cares for them, who's provided a way for them and sent Jesus Christ out of heaven down to this earth? And all they've got to be willing to do is acknowledge it. And people say, but Franklin, doesn't God already know I'm a sinner? Yes, you know, but he wants to hear you say it. They say an alcoholic cannot be treated for alcoholism unless they're willing to admit the fact that they're alcoholics. And when they get to that point, you can begin to work with them. And the same thing with sinner. You've got to be willing to admit you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And by faith, you've got to be willing to receive Christ. And you know what? You put that in there and you make that clear. Watch what God will do with your life and your ministry. And when you get through the end of life's road and you look back, you'll realize God did it, not you. God did it. But you know what? You can have the privilege and the pleasure of knowing, you know what? God used me. And you know what? That's all Franklin Graham wants in life, is to be used by Almighty God. That's all. Lord, just use me. You can spin me. You can use me. You can wear me out on life's road any place, anywhere you want. You can use me as a doormat. That's fine. I'm yours. You bought me with your blood. I gave my life to you. I'm yours. You use me and spin me. Just every day, Lord, just use me and spin me today the way you see fit. But when you give that invitation, friends, make it clear. Make it clear. I remember Dr. Bob Pierce, who befriended me many years ago. He said, buddy, make it clear. So then when it's all said and done, you give them a chance to either accept or to reject Jesus Christ. Make it clear enough where they can accept it or reject it. So in your message, if you're going to give an evangelistic message, make it clear enough so they can accept it or reject it. Okay? God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray for these men and women as they study here at this seminary and as they prepare to go out into a world that's laughing, a world that's scoffing, a world that doesn't believe, a world that mocks. Father, I pray that they'll be faithful, that they'll stand firm, that they won't be afraid, that they will give your gospel. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. May we never be ashamed of your gospel. And may we preach it with boldness, with conviction, with the Holy Spirit power. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. And Father, may we be faithful to you in everything that we do and everything we say. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
when Franklin agreed to come, he asked me if anybody had ever spoken on giving the invitation, and my heart went all the way to my shoes because I realized that as much as we do it around here, nobody had ever talked about it in chapel. And I said, no, hadn't anybody spoken about that. By all means, do it. And I hope you listen very carefully. That was wonderful, wonderful advice. And this is something that most preachers, even who preach well, do a very poor job of doing. And so hope you learn from it. And one thing to do, if you ever get to go to one of his crusades, and I hope you will, just stand back and watch how he does the invitation. You learn as much by observing as you do any other way. And Franklin, we're your debtors for coming today, and I hope you'll make this an annual sojourn down here. Would you like for him to just come once a year? And I want you to do one other thing. How many of you would say, knowing that he's going all over the world in these crusades, how many of you would be willing to say, Brother Franklin, we're going to pray for you, for God's safety, but most of all for God's anointing on you. Would you pray for him across the years and months to come? And that's our pledge to you, Brother Franklin Graham. And we thank you so much for coming today. Now, I...